Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're going to continue our study about Paul and Barnabas as they begin Paul's second missionary journey. And as we closed the class, we were talking about how that Paul and Barnabas had a difference between them concerning John Mark. We read about that in the book of Acts, chapter 15, verses 37 through 40. And Barnabas was minded to take with them John also, who was called Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take with him, who withdrew from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And there arose a sharp contention, so that they departed asunder one from the other. And Barnabas took Mark with him, and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas, and went forth, being commended by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. Now we're going to examine why they had that difference in just a moment. I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's ask this question. Why record the difference between Paul and Barnabas? Why was this difference between Paul and Barnabas recorded? God records the truth about men, and must have recorded this for our good. We can learn a good and very much needed lesson from it. There was no difference between Paul and Barnabas on anything in the will of God. This was only a difference of judgment in regard to taking Mark with them on this journey. The conduct of Paul and Barnabas cannot be used as an example of settling differences in regard to the will of God. Two different and conflicting things cannot both be the will of God. In regard to differences on teaching of the Bible, the two persons cannot settle their differences by agreeing to disagree. Both may be wrong, but only one can be right. The teachings of the Bible on any given question is always the same. When Paul and Barnabas differed and sharply contended over a difference of judgment, they did not divide the church at Antioch or any other place or start one or two general factions throughout the country. Neither one thought the other was not a Christian. Neither held any bitterness. Neither one in any way criticized or spoke aught against the other. Each held the other in high esteem. Paul, in his letters, refers to Barnabas in tenderest regard and high appreciation in the books of 1 Corinthians, Galatians, and Colossians. Paul regained Paul's confidence, if Paul lost confidence in him because of his turning back at this time. And Paul commends him in Colossians 4:11, speaks of him as a fellow worker, Philemon 24, and asks for Mark to come to him in prison, as useful to him in the ministry, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. It should be noted with emphasis that Paul and Barnabas and Mark never allowed their differences to injure in any way the cause of Christ. It is a shame that the same cannot be said of many of the present time. And so we're introduced to Silas. Silas was one of the chief men among the brethren in Jerusalem. He was a prophet and was sent by the church in Jerusalem to Antioch to help establish the truth in the church at Antioch in Acts 15, 22 and 32. He was a man of ability and usefulness and a fit associate for Paul in this great work, sent first from the church in Jerusalem and then with Paul by the church in Antioch. Silas was an assurance to the Jews of the cooperation and unity of the church in both places. Besides, Silas, for these reasons, could present the decision of the church in Jerusalem concerning the circumcision of the Gentiles. with great force. And so we read last verse, of Acts chapter 15 and verse 41, and he, that is Paul, verse 40, Paul chose Silas and went forth, being commended by the brethren to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Paul and Silas went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. This was the reverse journey of Paul and Barnabas made when they first went as missionaries from Antioch in Syria. Confirming the churches means instructing them in the way of the Lord, establishing them in the faith, and encouraging them to continue with steadfastness in the service of Christ. Now, we've talked about Barnabas and Paul and Mark and Silas, and now we're going to begin to talk about Timothy. In Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, we read, and he came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish that believed, but his father was a Greek. The same was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Timothy's home was at Lystra. There Paul met him. Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice, were Christians of unfeigned faith. From them he had first learned the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5 and 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Paul calls Timothy his true child of the faith in 1 Corinthians 4:12, in 1 Timothy 1:2, and in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2, which leads us to think that he became a Christian during Paul's visit to Lystra. He knew of the stoning of Paul and all the wonderful things which had taken place there. He had by this time been in the church 5 or 6 or 7 years, long enough to be established both in the teaching and practice of the gospel of Christ and in the confidence of the brethren. Paul speaks of prophecies which led the way to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18. God saw that he would become a useful man. Timothy was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. He had lived so as to gain the appropriation of these brethren. Doubtless, he had already begun to preach the gospel and to teach the word of God. This is a scriptural example to all young preachers. First, they must be in good standing in their home congregations and well reported of for good characters and good works. If not, they should never start out to preach to others. Later, Timothy was commanded by Paul to commit what he had learned from Paul to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. These men must have proved themselves faithful. God's order is to begin at home and work out, first to be proved and then to serve. And so Timothy accompanies Paul and Silas. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him. And he took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Because of Timothy's character and standing at home, Paul took him into this company and into broader fields of usefulness. We know what Timothy became as a preacher and Paul's fellow worker and fellow prisoner for Christ's sake. We read about that in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 23. This may be the last reference we have of Timothy, where it says, know that our brother Timothy hath been set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Timothy's mother was a Jewish, but his father was a Greek. He had not, therefore, been circumcised, and the Jews knew this. Paul circumcised him as a family mark, and to allay the prejudices of the Jews, but not as a religious right or a Christian duty. In Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love, Galatians 5 and verse 6. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, Galatians 6 and verse 15. In Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile, all are one, Galatians 3:28. Paul would not yield for a moment to having Titus circumcised as a duty to God, as obedience to Christ, or as a religious right. Galatians 2:3-10, circumcision had no relation to Christ, no connection with the gospel. The question of circumcising the Gentiles and requiring them to keep the law of Moses had been forever settled in Acts chapter 15. This being true, neither Titus nor anyone else could be circumcised in obedience to Christ, and Paul would not yield to this for a moment, Galatians 2:3-5. But as a family mark, with no connection with Christianity, Timothy could be circumcised. We read about those who were strengthened in the faith. Let me read to you Acts chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. And as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to keep which had been ordained of the apostles and elders that were at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Paul, Silas, and now Timothy went on their way through other cities, and as they went, they delivered the decrees to keep which had been ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. This was the decision that the Gentile Christians should not be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses, but should abstain from things sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. Acts 15 and verse 29. These decrees applied alike to all Gentile churches, hence they were delivered to all. This decision did much toward strengthening the faith of all these churches and uniting Jewish and Gentile Christians as one harmonious church. The teachings of these men, of all the gospel, all the Christian life, strengthened the churches in the faith. The faith embraces the whole counsel of Christ, God's way of saving the world through Christ, the Christian life, and the worship of God in spirit and truth, this being done everywhere, and Jews and Gentiles united, the churches increased in numbers daily. Let the churches of today learn this important lesson. Strife, contention, and factions weakened and finally destroyed churches and placed them before the world as monuments of sin and reproaches upon the great cause of Christ. But harmony and peace, goodwill and work will increase them in numbers daily. Now that ends this Sunday school lesson. We're looking at these Sunday school lessons that were produced by E.A. Elam. And on the opening page in this little Sunday school book, I see that we have a Sunday school lesson prepared for the Sunday schools of August the 16th, 1925. And this is another of Brother Elam's temperance lessons. I'll give you just a little background to this. These Sunday school lessons were written during a time known as Prohibition. And the idea of temperance is the idea of self-controlled. And when it comes to self-controlled in regard to drinking poisonous beverages and intoxicating beverages like alcohol, self-controlled means don't look at it, don't drink it, don't desire it, because it has a harmful influence on you. As we come together again for our next Sunday school class, we'll be looking at this temperance lesson, the text, Galatians 5, 13 through 24.